Animals have these advantages over man. They never hear the clock strike. They die without any idea of death. They have no theologians to instruct them. Their last moments are not disturbed by unwelcome and unpleasant ceremonies. Their funerals cost them nothing, and no one starts lawsuits over their wills. And that was said by Voltaire. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. We certainly have constructed a farcical system for ourselves, haven't we, folks? We've constructed a system that is all completely based in paper. It's a paper-based reality. And we seem to spend most of our times in life in fear of that which life may offer us, or in fear of that which comes after life. Most people that I've found in the world are extremely afraid of death, and yet death is the only thing in life which is inevitable. And as observed by Voltaire, we seem to have constructed all sorts of unpleasant ceremonies to surround us with during life and even during death. And it really has become somewhat of a farce, folks. And there are a great many people who have realized this. There are a great many people who have begun to awaken to the corruption of this system. And there's a great many people that have done what they can to find a way through the corruption of this system, to essentially find their way through the paperwork. Most especially here in Australia, we have a very large free man movement here in Australia. There's also a large free man movement in Canada and in England and in Ireland. Ireland actually seems to be leading the way in much of the sovereignty movement. But there are a significant amount of people that are attempting to go down this path in Australia. There are many people that are finding out about the significance of the birth certificate and all this sort of stuff, and they're doing what they can to bring the information to the rest of the world. And many people have had some reasonable amount of successes following this path, but now we are starting to see these sorts of remedies implode. We're starting to see now that more and more people are becoming aware of it, we're starting to see that the police just don't care, and that it doesn't matter how far you found your way through the paperwork, they are still just going to do whatever they want to do, regardless of you being right or not. We've seen this recently in the case of Adam Tucker in Victoria, a man called Edmund Hall in Queensland, who I believe is still in Townsville Hospital after suffering a stroke, after being locked in a mental health ward in Townsville after receiving a brutal beating at the hands of police. And recently we have also seen a lady called Sue Mains, who is very well known in the sovereignty movement, very, very well known in the free man movement, someone who has very much found their way through the paperwork and has done everything right. She has recently been escorted from her property by police, even after demonstrating to the police that she was right on every count and that the documents they were using to evict her were not valid documents. Even with all of this on her side, what we saw was that the police simply do not care. They don't care if what you're doing is right. They don't care if what you're doing is lawful, and they don't care if they break the law. They don't care. They don't care if the government is conducting criminal activity. They don't care if the country is being raped by corporations, and they don't care if they themselves are breaking the law in their actions. They're simply not intelligent enough to think clearly. They're not intelligent enough to consider whether the laws they are enforcing may be valid or not. They simply don't care. Most of them are thugs and sociopaths anyway. They're not interested in what is right and wrong, and all they care about is supporting their corporate masters and supporting the corporate rape of this country and the impoverishment of its people. All they care about, folks, is supporting the slavery system. That's the role of modern-day police. I know someone who had his car broken into or his house broken into recently, and he asked the police to come around and do something about it, and all they did was take a report. And he said, well, look, it only just happened. Do you want to come around and get fingerprints and things? And they just couldn't be bothered. They just said, no, there's no real point in doing that, to just fill out a report and take it to the station. Because modern police in Australia, folks, are not interested in catching criminals. All they're interested in doing is collecting revenue for the government, and they will tell you that anybody who doesn't pay their revenue is a criminal. You know, there's places here where they've actually put up no standing signs and two-hour parking signs in residential streets so that the people who live in the streets are not able to park their cars in front of their houses anymore. It's like London or something. It's ridiculous. You're not even allowed to use the street that you pay for because these criminal scumbags in government see it as a means of extracting revenue from you. See, this is what they're doing, folks. This is how they're milking the wealth from the population. This is the depopulation plan in motion, folks. That's how they're doing it. They're doing it economically. They're making it impossible for normal, everyday people to be able to survive in the current economic climate. And this is how they are going about creating more homeless people, which is, of course, how they are going about populating the prison systems. And it's pointless to call the police if you need help for anything in Australia, in the modern world, folks, because the police aren't interested in helping you. They're only interested in supporting corporate corruption and in collecting revenue from the population. Police in Australia are actually being hired as private security for logging companies in Australia, folks. That's how bad it's become, that these corrupt corporations are actually able to hire police as their security. So how do we ever expect to find any remedy from that situation? How do we expect to ever be able to prevent the corporate rape of this country, the destruction of the water table and the depopulation of the people, if the police are working to support this activity? Because that's what they do. And how do we find remedy when we are not able to use the paperwork? When we find a way through the paperwork, we've done everything right and we've presented it to the court, but we get thrown out of court and we get arrested and beaten by police anyway. How do we deal with this situation, folks? Well, the only way we deal with it is rather than attacking the court, rather than standing up against police, rather than taking a stand on our own, we have workshops. We have public meetings. We disseminate the information to as many people as possible. We begin to respect ourselves so that we can begin to respect the people around us. And we realize that the people that are doing this are simply public trustees, and we all stand together to make some positive change. That's how we do it, folks. And that's the only way we will be able to do it. You see, there is no remedy in paperwork. It doesn't matter how far you found your way through the legal system. Even all the work that I've done, understanding how the legal system works, understanding concepts such as sui generis. I mean, all of these things, they worked for a while. People had successes using these methods. But now more and more people are finding out about it and more people are trying it. The government is just choosing to ignore it and to make examples of people. So what happens in that situation, folks? How does it help you when the system doesn't care? When the system doesn't abide by its own paperwork, it uses that paperwork against you, but it doesn't abide by it itself. And what do? You get railroaded and taken into court by corrupt police officers. You're there being defended by a corrupt lawyer who's got an allegiance to the bar, not you. You're being prosecuted by a corrupt prosecutor, and you're standing in a corrupt court run by a corrupt judge who all work for the same system. Even the lawyer that you've got defending you works for the same system. He has a superseding oath to the bar. He doesn't owe any allegiance to you. He owes allegiance to the bar. So there is no remedy, folks. There is no legal remedy. There will never be any legal remedy. It doesn't matter about your birth certificate. It doesn't matter about anything because it's all fiction. The whole lot is just a fictional reality. It only exists on paper. And we're not going to find a remedy until we step above it. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we can respect ourselves enough to respect the people around us so that we can all stand together. You see, there's too many people that just go down these rabbit holes and they find what they believe may be a remedy. And then their ego kicks in and they won't allow anybody else in. They won't listen to reason and they want people to follow them down their rabbit hole. But they're not willing to step above it. And they're not willing to respect the people around them. They all want to have their own little method and go in there with fists clenched and guns blazing and take the system on. They want to do it on their own. They want to show that judge who is boss. And they find themselves locked up in a mental ward for doing so. because they didn't have the community standing behind them, because they got caught in their little rabbit hole and they went hell for leather down their own path, but they didn't disseminate the information through the community at large, or if they did, all they did was tell them their way. They weren't open to information or input from the people they were speaking to, because everybody has a piece of the puzzle. And folks, any remedy that you're looking for within the system, if it involves a piece of paper, then it's not remedy, because everything on paper is fiction. Everything in that paper-based reality is fiction. Why do you have to follow the rules and regulations that the system gives you to extricate yourself or emancipate yourself from the system if you are already free? If you're a free person, why would you have to do that? Why do I have to follow their rules to establish my freedom? Why can't they show me why I'm not free? Because I believe that I am. I don't believe that there is any piece of paper that can change that fact. And if I choose to go down their path and to use their pieces of paper to establish my freedom, then how free do I think I am? Right from the onset, how free do I think I am? Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to use their paper to establish my freedom? It's their paper. It's got nothing to do with me. It's just this fictional paper-based reality that they believe is real. They've inflicted it upon me. But I'm not part of that system, so why do I have to use anything in that system to free myself? I'm already free. If I'm not free, and you're claiming I'm not free, show me proof of claim. That's my attitude to the whole thing, folks. And if enough people could understand this, and enough people could band together to stand up against this system, then we would find our remedy is right there. And it isn't that we need to stand up against it. We just have to be there if it comes for somebody. We have to be there to support them so we can all stand together and just point out to whoever is attempting to inflict themselves upon our community member that what they're doing is supporting a fictional paper-based reality that is not real. It's interesting, really, isn't it, folks, when you think that the system itself isn't real. It only exists on paper. And yet when you claim that you are free and you attempt to establish your freedom and establish some form of sovereignty, then the judge or those who support the system has the nerve to tell you you need to be taken for a psychiatric evaluation when they are the ones who are believing that this fictional system is real. So really, it is them who should be taken for the psychiatric evaluation, really, when you look at it. I mean, it's almost as if these judges are saying, oh no, you're saying that reality is real? No, no, you must be insane. Really, what is real is this fictional world that only exists on paper. And if you question that, you're a nutter and you need to be taken away. That's kind of what they're doing, folks. Again, it's the reverse of the truth. It's a complete polar opposite to reality, like most of the things this system does. But the thing is, and what's happening here, folks, is that, as I said, there are people that have found their way through the legal system. They've found their way through the paperwork, and the system has let them go ahead and do this. It's let them spend the last 4 or 5 years figuring out that all of this is fiction. And now that we've figured it out, too many people are still attempting to use the fiction to establish their freedom. And ultimately, the system doesn't care, because the system knows that it's all fiction. They know that the rules and the legislation are just words on pieces of paper. They don't care whether you do what they say or not, because they're not going to do what they say. They realize that there's a higher harmonic and that they are simply going to do whatever they want to do. I think that the system has actually been very grateful for people going down the free man rabbit holes and going down these pathways and attempting to find remedy and establish sovereignty from within the parameters of the system, because it served to keep people distracted for a very long time, and it has served to protect the system. It's served to prevent people from ever actually standing up against the fiction, because people have been trying to find their ways through the fiction. They aren't realizing that it's fiction. It doesn't matter if you find your way through a fictional reality, it's still a fictional reality, folks. And that's why there is no legal remedy, and why there will never be any legal remedy to this situation. There's nothing you can do to establish your freedom from within the parameters of this system. There's nothing that mankind can do to establish its freedom from within the parameters of this system. Freedom for mankind will never happen until mankind collectively realizes that the system itself is fiction. And it's really important that people begin to understand that those that operate within the parameters of the system, they don't care if you find your way through, because they are going to do whatever they want to do anyway. The police will break any law that's in place in order to support corporate corruption. The media will defend their actions, and the politicians will get up on the podium and say how proud they are of the actions of their police and how we need more police to do such a fine job as these upstanding citizens are doing of protecting the laws of this country. And the vast majority of the population, the people who actually buy into what their television tells them, will simply swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. And they will view all the people in the streets protesting and attempting to establish their freedom as simply unruly complainers, people who are just whingers, people who just want to complain about the government, and why don't they grow up and just get on with things instead of creating all of these problems. That's the way the vast majority of population will look at it. And that's the way they will react to any type of legal confrontation. That's the way this system will react to any type of social confrontation. That's the way it will react to protesters. That's the way it will react to any movements that are started. And that's why we need a movement that is not a movement. What we need is an idea whose time has come, which is why we need to begin workshops, public meetings, and begin to disseminate as much information and personal empowerment throughout our communities as we are each able to do. And that's what I hope to begin doing with the Full Circle Project next year, folks. It's a big ask, but that's what I intend to do. Because we're not going to find any way out of this situation until the public is re-educated on a vast scale. And I think if it's done in the right way, then we should be able to re-educate them back into simple common sense, because that's what all of this is. That's what your freedom is. That's what establishing remedy is. That's ultimately what the solution to this entire situation is, folks. It's common sense. It's for people to rediscover themselves and for people to rediscover reality and start participating in actual reality rather than participating in a paper-based fictional reality that they've been taught to believe is real. And we need vast amounts of the population to stand up and do this, folks, so we do need strength in our communities. And so that's where the focus must be. The focus to all of the problems that we face must be on a united and empowered community. Because that's where the remedy is, folks. Because a united and empowered community can deal with this one problem that we face, because we only do face one problem. And that is the corporate corruption that has taken over all governments on this planet. And because that is the actual problem, folks, then it becomes very, very clear to see that the only remedy for this problem is a united and empowered community, the type of united and empowered community that can only be achieved via mutual respect. And so that has to be the focus. You know, too often we just attempt to put band-aids on problems, folks. Too often we simply address a symptom of the situation and we attempt to put a band-aid over the symptom, but we're never going to fix the problem because we're not addressing it at its core. And that's what we have to do. The time has come to really start rocking the boat, folks. What I'm going to do with the Full Circle Project next year is I want to create a series of workshops. I want to create a workshop template that can be used in every community around the planet. I want to start implementing tree planting initiatives in every community we can around the planet. And we've got to find methods of empowering the community into mutual respect so that they can stand up against their corrupt politicians. People have to find a way of infiltrating the system and bringing the system down from within and also bringing it down from without. But ultimately, it has to come down to empowering the community, folks. This is what it's going to take. Because too often we are waiting for somebody else to save us. Too often we believe that by joining a particular movement, the movement is going to save us. We believe that if we go into concert halls and auditoriums and listen to people we respect speak to us, then it's actually going to make a difference. We drop our few dollars in the donation box and we expect those who run the event are going to save the world for us without our participation. We believe that just by going to these events and dropping a few dollars in the donation bin, we're actually participating. But we're not. I mean, it's good to disseminate information. It's good to find out things. But you always need to have a positive plan of action after these events. And that's what we need to do. We need input from everybody. What is a positive plan of action that will work in your community? If you have something, send me an email. Title the email The Full Circle Project, and I'll put it in the Full Circle folder that I have. And I will get all of these emails together. I'll get all these people who've got all of these ideas together. And perhaps we can find a way of implementing some of these ideas. Because, as I said, everybody has a piece of the puzzle, folks. And we need input. I need input. Because I can't think of a plan for you. I can't think of a plan for your community. I can create an overall idea which may work for all communities. But ultimately, things need to be tailored for individual communities. And that's where it comes down to the people within the communities getting involved. And that's what I want to do. I just think we've talked about things long enough. We've investigated the legal system long enough. We've gone down the Freeman rabbit hole long enough. We've been pointing the finger at others for long enough. And now we've got to a point where we actually do need to act. We need to start participating. We need to start moving into action to change things. And it's not about writing petitions. It's not about seeking permission. It's about rediscovering ourselves. It's about rediscovering our own personal power. It's about remembering who and what we are and standing in that and realizing that we have the ability to imagine and create any world we want to imagine and create. We don't have to do what we're doing. We don't have to be led down the garden path by psychopaths, which is what's happening, folks. And again, we've seen the result of the free man movement. We've seen the result of people attempting to find a way through the fiction and using the fiction against the system. The fiction just says, look, we know it's fiction, and we think you're a nut, so we're going to lock you up. And what do you do? What do you have to remedy that situation, folks? When you've got police that have the weapons on their belts, and they're just big, violent, sociopathic thugs anyway who enjoy inflicting harm upon people, what are you going to do? You can't expect them to actually respect your wishes or respect your rights. You can't expect them to do any of that because they're simply not going to. They don't want to, and they don't care whether you have rights. They don't care whether you are legal or lawfully correct. All they care about is exercising a right of ownership over you and bending you to their will. And that's what they do. And the point is, how long does it take for us to stop investigating? I've been investigating all this stuff for 30 years, folks, and I've been investigating it and speaking publicly to you on the radio here for the last six. But what has it achieved? What have I achieved by doing so? Well, hopefully I've empowered some of the listeners out there, but I don't see the world changing because I'm doing these radio shows. I see people gradually, slowly waking up, but I don't see the world actually changing because people simply aren't participating. And that's what we need. We need audience participation. Sometimes I wonder if by doing these radio shows, I'm simply lulling people into a false sense of security because people are saying, oh, listen to Max. He says things so nicely and so calmly. I feel so much better now after listening to this show. And that's great. I mean, I like to have you feeling empowered and I like to have you feeling better, but I don't want to have you lulled into a state of inaction. Because that is not what I'm attempting to do, and that is not the purpose of these radio broadcasts. I've done these shows, and I continue to do these shows because I wish to empower the community. I wish to help people rediscover themselves so that we can all stand together to bring about some positive change. That's the purpose of these shows, and it's an urgent situation, folks, so don't let me lull you into a false sense of security because, believe me on this, folks, the world is not secure. Your life is not secure. Your freedom is not secure. Not until you decide to participate. But you've got to participate with the rest of your community. So it always comes back to the same thing. We've got to empower the community, which means we have to respect ourselves enough to respect the people around us. And when you see action being taken against the government, folks, when you see someone attempting to rock the boat, show them your support. Stand with them. Give them a positive message. At least wave to them. I mean, do something positive, folks. Because all of the people that are attempting to speak out against this system, they're all doing so for you as much as they're doing it for themselves. They're simply doing it because it needs to be done. And that's the thing. And we need to support these people, and we need to get involved ourselves. And I really want to see people rocking the boat, folks. Any authority that this system attempts to exercise over you, you need to question it. Always question it. Every single bill you get, anything this system wants you to do, ask it why you have to do that. And get them to explain it to you, to the letter of the law. Get them to read the legislation to you if necessary. Just do whatever you can to make it difficult for them and to tie them up in red tape and to keep them busy explaining to you why they believe they have authority over you. Because ultimately they don't, folks. Nobody has authority over you. Nobody has any authority over anybody. That's the thing. If people believe they do, then it's only because they believe what's on the paper, but it's not real. What's real is life, folks. What's real is you. What's real is the electrical impulse, the electrical charge that is you, the electromagnetic frequency that is you, the consciousness that is you. The electrical charge, isn't that an interesting thing as well, folks? Electrical charges. Everything is electricity, isn't it? Even when you get charged with a crime, they put that power into you. They charge you. It's electrical. It's all based on circuitry. There was a really wonderful document, actually, that came out a few years ago, apparently discovered by Delamer Deveris, which was called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. It was a wonderful document. It's very hard to establish whether it was real or not, but it certainly makes a lot of sense. If you can get hold of it, I advise you to read it. It's a very, very informative document and explains the situation of life and the system and the control grid from the perspective of an electrical circuit. Very, very interesting document. But I think we're at break time here, folks, so I better leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, folks, we need to empower the community. We need to empower the community in every possible way that we can. And we need to start taking steps ourselves in order to reclaim this earth for mankind. That's another thing that I wish to do with the Full Circle Project, is I wish to start buying up vast tracts of Amazon rainforest to hold within the In La Caisse Foundation so that it can never be touched. It will be there for future generations to enjoy. The Amazon is the lungs of the earth, folks, and if we lose the Amazon, then we lose the fight. If we lose the Amazon, we lose this earth. In fact, if we lose the Amazon, and I've said it before, folks, if we lose the Amazon, we quite literally do not deserve this earth. And that is another initiative that I intend to start with the Full Circle Project. There are a lot of organizations out there that claim to be working to save the rainforest, and people donate to these organizations, but it seems that these organizations just create petitions and advertisements and pay themselves wages with the money. They don't seem to be actually doing anything to save the jungle apart from, as I said, petitions and advertising campaigns. My plan is different. My plan is to buy the whole place, buy as much of it as we can, and hold it in trust for mankind. And I think that if enough people get behind such an initiative, we can really, really make a difference to this situation. And if we combine these types of initiatives with community initiatives designed to empower the people living within our respective communities and to put the power back into the hands of the people, then I truly do believe that we will make a difference. You see, divide and conquer is the motto, folks. That is the strategy that is used against us. And if the community unites because we have the respect for each other to do so, then there's absolutely nothing the government can do. There's nothing the police can do. There's nothing anybody can do against the united community. Because if you have a government which claims to be acting in the best interest of the people, and it doesn't do what the people want, then how can that government claim to be a valid government? I mean, obviously, it's abdicated its right to govern. Here in Queensland, Australia, we've started a people's mandate in order to mandate that the government remove fluoride from the water. And this is not a petition, folks. This is a mandate. We are giving you, our government, our elected trustees, we are giving you instructions. This is our will, and you will carry out our will, because if you don't, you've abdicated your right to govern. Because this is a democracy, and you cannot claim to be running a democratic system if you're going to ignore the will of the people. It isn't a matter of us doing what the politicians say. It's exactly the opposite. It's a matter of the politicians doing what we say. But this can only happen with a united community. This is why I beat this drum so much, folks. Every show, you probably hear me say united community at least 15 or 20 times, because that is the remedy. And that is the only remedy that we will ever find. It's the only remedy we'll ever find, because this is a paper-based reality, folks. It only exists on paper. It just exists in a book. And until we decide to say enough is enough and take humankind in a different direction, no remedy will ever be found. That's why it's up to you out there listening to this show to become empowered, to discover yourself enough to become empowered, to respect yourself enough to become empowered, and to respect yourself enough to respect others. Respect the experience of life enough to respect others. Realize what you're caught up in, folks. You're only caught up on this treadmill. You're only caught up in this system because people believe it's real. We only judge people around us because we're given certain social and political and economic parameters by which to judge them. But none of these are real. It's all fiction, folks. We live in a fictional world. We judge each other by fictional parameters. And when we attempt to address this system and address the corruption within the system, we use the fiction that they've created to do so. And personally, I just think that we should step above it all and get back to reality a little bit, my friends. I think that's where the remedy lies. You know, once people really discover themselves and really discover what reality is, the whole system breaks down. It collapses by default. We don't even have to do anything. All we have to do is unite amongst ourselves. And it's game over for the ruling hand. So why don't we do that? Why don't we just put all of our stuff down and unite and say enough is enough? We've imagined a different reality, and we intend to create that now, regardless of what your system says, regardless of what you've written down on any pieces of paper. Because it doesn't matter, because we've realized that you politicians are simply public trustees, and we've decided that it's time for us, mankind, we the people, to exert our will. We do that, folks, and it's all over for this ruling hand. We do that, and all the problems that we face in the world are all fixed that day, on day one, by default. The question is, what is it going to take for people to realize the reality of this and to wake up to themselves? I honestly don't know, folks. I've been trying. I've done shows that I thought, this is the show. This is the one. If enough people hear this radio show, it will change the world. I've literally done shows that I believe that. I really thought that I could make a difference with this show. I thought that if people hear it and it resonates with them and they play it to their neighbors, if everybody in the world could simply hear this radio show, then we will change things. Here it is 6 years later and I'm still waiting. But I still have the confidence and the faith in mankind to eventually get their act together and to wake up to what's going on and to eventually stand up and make a difference. I really think we can do it, folks, and now's the time that we have to. It's getting to the point that we don't really have a choice, folks. We can't let things go on the way we have been and the way they are, because if we do, we're not going to have a world to live in. And I think that should be a matter for concern for people. The thing is, folks, that things have gotten out of control. Really, when you look at what our governments are doing, the sheer weight of oppression that they're forcing upon the people in all countries. It's happening in the United States, it's happening in the UK, it's happening in Australia, and it seems to also be happening across most of Europe. And the only way we're going to deal with it is if we empower the communities. And we've got to do it now, folks, because if we leave it too much longer, then we're not going to have the ability to do so. I mean, even here in Australia, we've had the entire country disarmed. And now we've got police being hired as armed security for corporations that are destroying the country. And there's very little that the people of Australia can do about this because we have no weapons. We cannot fight against these people. And we especially can't fight against them using legal parameters, not when the police are being hired as security guards for these corrupt corporations. I mean, what do you do in that situation, folks? The only weapon you can possibly have, the only effective weapon you can possibly have against that sort of a situation is the weight of numbers of an empowered community. And so that's where the focus needs to be. And this is what I want to work towards this year, folks. With this Full Circle project, what I wish to do, I wish to have workshops that I can take all around the world, or at least have templates that can go all around the world, and I wish to initiate a massive Amazon buyback scheme, whereby we the people buy as much rainforest as we possibly can to hold in trust, and we could even set up a little section somewhere where we have an administration area where people can come. We can do workshops there. We can do permaculture initiatives there. I want to introduce permaculture into Peru as well. I've got a friend here who has an organic farm, and I'd like to be able to take him to Peru to help teach the people over there how to create sustainable organic permaculture farms. I don't want to be clearing any Amazon to do this. I mean, of course, there'd have to be a small section somewhere where there is living quarters and managerial quarters for people to be able to maintain the area, because, of course, you're going to need border patrols to keep poachers out and all of this sort of stuff. I mean, looking at it realistically, this sort of stuff will need to be done. And at this stage, I don't really know what the overall plan is going to look like. I just know that this is something that we must do. And it's something that wants to happen. All of the synchronicities and signs that have happened in my life have showed me very much that this wants to happen. And that's one of the reasons why I feel so positive about it, folks. I feel so empowered about this initiative, because it is something that wants to happen. All we have to do is create the mechanism, and I believe it will all fall into place, because people will want to be involved, because this is such a worthwhile project. And look, I've already received a lot of emails from people. I've received a lot of Facebook messages from people who want to be involved in an Amazon buyback scheme. And what I would ask people to do is just hold off for the moment. Or if you are going to send me an email, please send one through the Crow House, and please title it Full Circle so that I know which folder to put it in, so I can keep track of all these emails. I've had a lot of people that want to donate as well to buy back sections of Amazon, and I'll have to get you to hold off for now because I haven't set up the foundation yet. I hopefully will be getting that set up before I go to Peru on the 5th of November. I'm not sure at this stage because it does take a little time to set up, but hopefully it will be done by then. If not, then it will be done immediately upon my return, and then people can start contributing to the fund and we can get this ball rolling. I really would like to have acquired some land in the Amazon by early next year, so I really do need to get on with this and make sure that it happens very quickly. And I think it would be a very empowering initiative too, folks. I mean, imagine if we actually can buy large sections of Amazon and put them in this foundation, then we can look at it and go, well, look what we did. We bought this jungle. We've saved this jungle. It can't be touched now. And if we can do that, then we're capable of doing other things as well. I think it will be a very, very empowering thing for the community, very empowering thing for mankind. And it will demonstrate to people that we can make a difference. You're not just a little person out there. I mean, all of the problems that we face, these are all been created by just little people, folks, just people. No different to you, no different to me. It's just that we view them as being larger than life. We view them as being big, powerful people that we can't possibly stand against. But they're not. They're just people. We only perceive them to be powerful because they have more paper than us. They have more digital credits on the screen than us. We believe them to be powerful because as a society, we are generally infected with the economic and social pathogens, which make us believe that it's all about economics and status, and that these things are actually real, and that this makes people big and more powerful than we are. but it's not true. They're just people, the same as everybody else. You see, it's all paper-based, folks. Our legal system is paper-based. Our social status is paper-based. It's all about how much paper you have. Everything we do, it all revolves around paper, this paper-based reality that we live in. It's a very, very strange thing. And it's used to disempower people. It's used to prevent you from ever discovering yourself. It's used to prevent you from ever embracing the uniqueness of yourself, the uniqueness of your own personality, because you're given parameters by which to judge yourself. You're told that you have to reach certain rungs on the social and economic ladder in order to be successful, in inverted commas. And so you're led away from yourself. You're led away from the art of your life. And that's what we can do with this project, folks. We can regain the art of our lives. We can regain our connection to this planet, and we can work to do something positive for this planet, do something positive for ourselves, get ourselves out of this paper-based reality and get back to nature, get back to what we should be, bring humankind full circle and put us back on the path that we were always meant to tread. So everything about this system is designed to remove us from our path, folks. It's designed to remove us from this earth, remove us from our natural state of abundance. It's been a very clever system, and it's been very successful in its endeavors up till now. But now people are waking up, and now the tide is turning. People are beginning to realize that it is just a paper-based reality, and many people who are trying to find their way through, who have found their way through the paperwork, we're seeing what happens to these people now, and this is a knee-jerk reaction of panic from the system, folks. That's why these people are being made examples of, people such as Sue Mains, people such as Edmund Hall, Adam Tucker, and Andrew Snowden in Australia. These people are being made examples of because the system is scared. Because the wheels are falling off. People are beginning to realize that it's all fiction and that they don't have to do this. And I really believe that that's what this time in history is, folks. This time is the time that human consciousness actually woke up to itself. And there are so many people now that are speaking about this sort of stuff. There are so many people now that are talking about government corruption. There are so many people that can see the system for what it is and can see our governments for what they are. And this is what's forcing the government's hand. This is why we're seeing such an escalation in the totalitarian system, because these people are terribly scared of what's going to happen when more people wake up. This is why we're seeing more and more police being brought in. Here in Australia, we're just seeing a massive increase in the police population. It's ridiculous. There's so many police around now, it's absolutely absurd. And the government is bringing in more and more legislation, making more and more things illegal. So, of course, there's more and more crime being created as a result of this. And that's why they say they need more police, because there's so much crime. But the only reason there's so much crime is because the government is making virtually everything illegal. And so it's becoming a crime to be a normal, functioning human being. That's the way they do it, folks. They make it a crime to think outside of the box in any way, shape, or form. And this is how they're going about it, folks. They're making it a crime to be homeless. They're making it a crime to step outside of their lines in any way. And this is how the depopulation plan is being put into motion. This is how the prison systems are being populated. This is how they are getting rid of all of that excess humanity, all of those useless eaters, as the powers that believe they be refer to us. And folks, really, when you look at it, I don't know how anybody could not see or cannot see that this is a psychopathic system that is doing its best to discard as much of humanity as possible, to discard anybody who is not required to run the machine. I don't know how people can't see this. I don't know how people can go to work, have a family, and they work two jobs or three jobs, and they have these enormous bills, and they struggle to keep their head above water. I don't know how they can't stop and simply ask why life is like this. Because people seem to just accept that this is the way it is. Oh, it's this economic problem. Oh, it's this depression. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. I can't understand why people cannot see that this is all fiction. I cannot understand why people can't step above it. I mean, it's so obvious. It's so in your face. Why do you have to struggle so much? You were born here to experience the art of your life, and yet you are forced to operate within psychopathic parameters that keep you in a constant state of shortage and scarcity, and people simply don't question it. They just go along with it, and they never stop to ask why. And yet the rulers, the politicians, these are all millionaires. Have a look at the Senate in the United States. 80% of them are millionaires. Same in the UK. They're all millionaires. Same here in Australia. They're all millionaires. So why do we think that these millionaires are going to do anything to help the people? And how come these employees of ours, those that we employ to manage our infrastructure for us, how come they're all millionaires and everybody in society is in a state of scarcity? And the answer to that is pretty obvious, folks. It's because these guys are millionaires, and how they got to be millionaires, it's because they milk the wealth of their employers. That's what they're doing. They're embezzling the wealth of this country into their own pockets. That's what politicians do. Politicians don't work for the people, folks. They work for mining companies and banksters. That's who they work for, and that is who they support. All you got to do is look. Like I said earlier, folks, the police are being used as security guards, private security guards, for corporations that are destroying the country. Logging companies, mining companies, coal seam gas companies, police are being used as security for these people, folks. And what do the people get? If we have a crime committed against us, the police won't even come and take the fingerprints. They're not even interested in attempting to arrest anybody who's actually committed a crime or hurt someone or broken into your house or stolen your car. They're only interested in arresting people who stand up against corporations and who haven't paid their revenue. That's all they do, folks. So don't think politicians are there to serve you. Don't think politicians are there to help you. They're not. They're stealing from you. And it's happening in every single country around the planet. So I can't understand why people cannot see the reality of this and why people simply allow this to happen. Why people simply accept this as the way things are. I mean, it can't just be the programming that they receive at school. It can't just be the programming from the television. Perhaps it's the fluoride, perhaps it's the chemicals that they ingest, there's something, maybe it's the mobile phones, maybe it's the electromagnetic radiation that they're always swimming around in, maybe it's because their bodies are totally overtaken by candida, maybe it's something, but I don't know what it is, I don't know why people cannot see the reality of it. Because when people do see the reality of it, they go, oh my God, it's so obvious. It's so obvious that this is a slavery system, that this is just people farming and human trafficking. So the question is, why can some people see it, and why can some people not see it? Because I honestly don't understand how anybody could not see what's going on. Perhaps it's because they're just kept so distracted. But whatever it is, it has to stop, folks. We cannot allow the world to continue in the direction that it's going. And so I think we all need to band together and get on board and start implementing positive change ourselves. Not asking permission to do it, just doing it. Because that's what we are. We are mankind. We create things. We imagine stuff and we create it. And so I think it's time for us to imagine a better world and to actively work to create that world, folks. It's time for mankind to step above the fiction. It really is. Of course, we may have to still use the fiction for a little while. I'll have to use the fiction in order to buy sections of the Amazon in order to put it into trust. But once we've created some sort of an empowering movement, we can use that movement to step above the system, because it will be a movement that is not a movement. It will be a movement that is an idea whose time has come, because that's what it is. The idea of freedom is a new idea, really, in the human experience. We've had what we perceived to be freedom before, but it wasn't really freedom. It was just something that looked like freedom. It was something that was packaged as freedom and sold to us, and we bought it, and we thought it was real. But now we've discovered something more. Now we've discovered what real freedom is, and that's what this is. The idea of freedom. It's an idea whose time has come. And it's an idea that can be implemented by every single man, woman, and child on this planet. All we have to do is step into the role. And this will come from mutual respect. That's really what will cause the real change to come about. That is what will bring it about by default. Mutual respect. And respect is one thing that our society definitely doesn't want us to have for each other, folks. I mean, they sell it to us. They tell us that we need to respect each other, but then they provide all of these social and economic parameters to ensure that we won't. So we have to step above that. We really do. We have to see this system for what it is. And we have to put the strength in ourselves so that we can put the strength in our communities, folks. That's the solution to the whole problem. That's how we step above everything, is by respecting each other and having an empowered community. And this can only come by the actions of each individual. So that means you out there listening, you have to participate. You have to be involved in this change if you want it to happen. Very often people sit and they complain and they point the finger and they do YouTube clips and radio shows and they scream and they rant and they rave and they say that everybody's a conspiracy and everything's a conspiracy and that everything is Illuminati and that every sign that's put there is all this and it's all that, and they live their lives in a complete state of fear and they point their finger at anything and everything and call it controlled opposition or Illuminati, but ultimately all they achieve by doing so is complete disempowerment for themselves, complete disempowerment for those who listen, and they don't do anything to participate in the world around them to bring about some positive change. They just sit cowering behind their computer screen, pointing the finger everywhere. But that doesn't help, folks. We already know the system's messed up. We already know there is a psychopathic ruling hand that controls things. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Because sitting behind your computer and doing radio shows and pointing the finger is not helping. If you're going to provide information to people about the ruling hand, then at least provide some solutions to the people, at least attempt to empower the people, because that's what we need, is an empowered community, because that is the only solution to the problems that we face. And that's what I've tried to do with these radio shows, folks, is I've tried to empower you, because we need some balance here. It's not all gloom and doom. It's actually a huge opportunity for humankind if we choose to participate in it. That's what problems are, folks. Problems are opportunities. Opportunities for change. Opportunities for you to fix the problem, to deal with the problem. And the problem, the real problem, with all the government corruption and everything that we're facing, the real problem is a disempowered mankind. And that's you. That means you have to become empowered again. And I can't empower you. All I can do is give you my perspective and share information with you that I hope will empower you. But ultimately, it's up to you each to take the steps. And it's up to each of you to get involved. So I urge you to please do so. And to please get involved in the Full Circle Project when I launch it. Please help me do this. Please support this initiative. Please help me do this. We have to bring about some change, folks. And I really believe we can do so with this project, but it is going to take your support in order for us to achieve anything. But I think that's the end of this show here, folks. We're completely out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for spending this time with me today. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you to anybody who has ever sent me a kind email. Again, please accept my apologies that I do not get to answer all the emails. I do get a lot of emails, folks, and it does become very difficult to stay on top of them. But I do read all the emails, and I very much appreciate the thoughts that you send me. And again, folks, if you wish to be involved in the Full Circle Project, please do send me an email and please title it Full Circle so that I know what folder to put it in. And then once I launch the project, I will send out a mass email to those who wish to be involved and those who wish to contribute. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.